Welcome back to At Home in Your Hymnal, Pastor Poppy, Pastor Moline. In episode 15, we are looking at Divine Service Setting 1 in Lutheran Service Book. This is a continuation of a discussion that we began way back in episode 9. So if you go to the archive section of our website, www.thecross957.org, episode 9, episode 10, and then skip forward to episode 15 and following, this is our in-depth look at Divine Service Setting 1 in Lutheran Service Book, page 151 and following. In our earlier segment, we looked at the transition from the preparation rite, confession and absolution, to the service of the word. We talked about an entrance hymn, an introit, or a psalm, and how those things incorporate into the worship service, set the stage for the worship service, are very practical as they cover movement that is going on in the worship service, how we are fed by God's word, and might even have a procession and lots of fanfare as the pastors are walking in and we get ready to hear the word of God and receive his gifts. But there's something very, very significant that is going on before we get to this joyous hymn of praise. We heard in our intro, this is the feast, one of the distinctive markers of Divine Service Setting 1 and Divine Service Setting 2. It's a different tune, but the words are very similar. Many people, when they hear this is the feast, they immediately think of Divine Service Setting 1. It's a festive, joyous thing that we sing, and it's an amazing part of the worship service where we are praising God with God's word. But there's something that happens in between that introit, psalm or entrance in, and here at Good Shepherd, we almost always do an introit. Before we sing a hymn of praise, after the introit, there comes a goofy little five-letter word called the Kyrie. Pastor, can you explain to us what a Kyrie is and what that Latin word means?
Yeah, maybe we'll start with what the Latin word means, because it's actually the Greek word there.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Kyrie.
It's the same in Latin and Greek, so.
Right. The Kyrie is the Greek word kurios, which means Lord, and in the New Testament, it's what the name of God is in the Greek language. It's a word that fills in oftentimes the New Testament for the tetragrammaton in the Old Testament, which is the Lord's name, I am that I am, Yahweh. In your English Bible now, even if you open to any page in the Old Testament, you'll see a place where the word Lord is written in all cap letters, and that is this word here, the tetragrammaton Lord. And so this is a way of speaking to God. We call him Lord rather than using his proper name as a manner of respect. The Kyrie, then, is a prayer. It's the first prayer, in fact, of the service of the word. It's a prayer that is saying, Lord, have mercy, Kyrie eleison in the Greek. It's a prayer that is encountered frequently in the scriptures. We have, for example, the Canaanite woman of Matthew 15. We have the 10 lepers of Luke 17 and countless other places where people who see Jesus, the thing that they cry out, the prayer that they say to him is, Lord, have mercy, Kyrie eleison. It's a prayer asking for God to show mercy to us in all of our necessities and in all of our troubles and in all of our struggles in this world. And it's a prayer that's been used in the church for a very, very, very long time. It's been used in the church all the way back. We have evidence for a lady named Agaria, who made a pilgrimage to Jerusalem way back in the, I think, 400s AD. And she records that at the church in Jerusalem, they were using a prayer that, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy, all the way back then. And so it does have a lot of history and tradition of use in the church. And that's because it comes right out of the Holy Scriptures.
And we'll see as we continue our walk through Divine Service Setting 1, some parts of the liturgy are ancient, like the Kyrie. Some parts of the liturgy are very new, like 20th century this is the feast, and everything in between. And that's the beautiful thing about the liturgy in general, is it is extremely cross-cultural with regard to peoples and places and times, and it really unites us as one in Christ Jesus. So before we go any further, Pastor, that word mercy, you know, there's a lot of church words that we throw around a lot, and we just assume people know what they mean. Two of the words that are often together are grace and mercy. Here we have Lord, have mercy. The way I have explained it in the past with regard to the understanding and the distinction between grace and mercy is like two sides of a coin. And I want to get your reaction to this definition of mercy. Grace is when God gives us something we don't deserve. Flip that coin around. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. Don't give me what I deserve. Mercy. Your reaction to that definition?
I think that's a good way to help us think about it in English, because how do I say it? We don't know our definitions of words specifically anymore. You know, there's lots of different words, and we just kind of assign the same meaning to them. And I think that's a good way to think about it, is that God does do both of those things. He gives us what we don't deserve, life, forgiveness of sins, salvation, and he doesn't give us what we do deserve, which is eternal damnation and punishment. Instead, he gives that to Christ in our place, and I think that's a great way to think about this. And when we see this in the scripture, the Canaanite woman who asks mercy of Christ, the 10 lepers who ask mercy of Christ, they really have no ground to stand on. The thing they do deserve is death and damnation and punishment, and yet they're still asking of God, in Jesus in this case, that he not do that for them. And in response to their prayer for mercy, God does show them grace. So that's a good way of thinking of it.
I just was reading in, I believe it was Pieper, not too long ago, and that's a 19th century dogmatician in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, wrote a set of dogmatics, wonderful book. But he talked about when God gives mercy in the scripture, this is an absolution. When God doesn't give us what we deserve, this is the forgiveness of sins. And I think that's a good thing for us to keep in mind as well. I don't want to cut us too short, because we want to listen to the Kyrie in Lutheran Service Book, Divine Service Setting 1, pages 152 and 153. The reference to the Bible reference, this is one of the beautiful things about Lutheran Service Book. They always give a little Bible reference off in the right-hand column, and they list Mark 10, 27. And I want to read this section, and I'm going to read Mark 10, 46 to 52. The subtitle is Jesus Heals Blind Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he is calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. That was Mark 10, 46 to 52. That is the Bible reference for the Kyrie that is listed in Divine Service Setting 1, pages 152 and 153. Before we listen to the Kyrie, Pastor, any comments on that particular verse that we just read?
I think Bartimaeus shows us the life of a Christian, continually praying for the mercy that is undeserved and expecting to receive it from God because of his care and compassion and mercy towards us. And so that's, you know, you see him there continually continually crying, Lord, have mercy upon me. And when we do this in the divine service, that's the same thing we do. We continually cry out to God, Lord, have mercy upon us.
The life of a Christian crying out for mercy, forgiveness, life, and salvation. Your faith has made you well. Now, we need to be careful here when we hear these passages. This was not some innate quality inside of Bartimaeus. It is the object of his faith that heals him. And the object of that faith is Jesus. So I'm not Mr. Technology here. Pastor Moline is helping me very much. We are going to listen now to the Kyrie from Divine Service Setting 1, and about the first 10 seconds of what we're going to hear is a copyright from Concordia Publishing House, and don't worry about that. We want to do that to make sure all of our bases are covered here, and then we'll get into the Kyrie.
Divine Service Setting 1 in Lutheran Service Book was composed by Richard Hillert, Professor Emeritus at Concordia University, Chicago. This setting was previously included in both Lutheran Worship and Lutheran Book of Worship.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Kyrie from Divine Service Setting 1, Lutheran Service Book, pages 152 and 153. Pastor, we have a rhythm and a flow that's going back and forth. We have the pastor or the pastor's assistant singing a line and the congregation coming back with that refrain, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, amen. So the people are speaking the words that blind Bartimaeus and several of the other people that we've talked about in Scripture. A few words about the lines that the pastor is saying, introducing this prayer and then the people coming back. It's a petition and then the people are responding. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God and for the unity of all, for this holy house and all who offer here their worship and praise. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. One word jumps out at me. Peace, peace, peace. What are we talking about here?
Well, it is the word peace that is emphasized, at least in the first three petitions of this particular prayer. And it's a prayer for peace from God. And it's the same word then that Jesus introduces himself to the disciples on the day of resurrection. It's a peace that means there's no longer conflict between us and God. And so that's kind of the basis of the peace. First off, we have that peace, that first petition, because Christ has been raised from the dead. The second one, we have peace for our salvation, same reason. And then we ask for that peace to be for the whole world. And so peace is the emphasis there.
And I apologize that we cut this segment a little bit short. We're going to have to come back and touch a little bit on that Kyrie when we come back. And don't change that dial. This is At Home in Your Hymnal.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.